Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This safe room doesn't feel that safe, okay? I mean, is that airtight? And is that bulletproof? Are these windows bulletproof? I mean, they can waft gas in here, right?
I don't think the speculation is very helpful.
I mean, these are the things you think about when you're designing a panic room. So I'm just saying. And a person can fit through there. A person can definitely fit through that window. A small person, an attack child.
Okay, I need you to get me to the other safe room, the real one, right away.
P to the OD, cast on the daily about Succession. One episode per day, see? P to the OD. Podcasts on the daily about Succession. Podcasting like a pro, make some noise.
Succession is almost over, but we are just getting started talking about every single Succession episode here on Post Show Recaps. It's the daily Succession podcast on Post Show Recaps, where we are watching and talking about every single episode of Succession on the road to the final season premiere on March 26th. We are going episode by episode and day by day. You can get commercial-free versions of this podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level for the ad-free versions of the Succession podcast. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler, and today we are talking about Succession Season 2, Episode 4, Safe Room, and we are podcasting from a very safe room here. It's myself, it's Grace, and Jess. Grace, do you feel secure?
No, a person could definitely fit through the window. A small person, an attack child.
The attack child's on its way, Jess.
It's so ridiculous.
It's absurd.
Greg has some all-time lines in this episode, and I can't wait to talk about those.
Some of the dialogue in this episode is about as good as it gets on Succession, I think. There's just some incredible moments in this episode of Succession that, I don't know. I really love Safe Room, Grace. I think this is a very fun episode of the show.
I thought that was like a version of me. You're like, I really love Safe Room, Grace. I like when you're in a safe room.
Yeah.
That's the best version of you. I watch Everything Ever All at Once again. I just feel like, yeah, I'm just the multiverse version of me in a safe room.
Ask me at the end of this podcast if the Safe Room Grace was my favorite Grace.
No, I love this one too. I think it's the Tom Gregg is peak Tom Gregg as they're like on the verge of a potential breakup. Logan trying to make a deal. Kendall back in his father's good graces. And of course, we get the debut of one of my favorite actors of all time, Holly Hunter as Rhea Jarrell. It's very fun.
I can't believe I'm here on the show now. It's me, it's Holly Hunter. Succession's a pretty good show.
Or as I know her, Elastigirl.
That's Elastigirl. No stretch to say that
I'm
that's
a monster.
Nah, you're all right. You're all right with me, Jess Sterling. Yes, we have Rhea Jarrell, as played by Holly Hunter, officially in the Succession mix in this episode. There are a lot of really fun characters that we're meeting along the way here in season two, and she is certainly going to be a very impactful one. We, of course, are going to see someone from another beloved S-named show in this episode. episode of Succession in the form of Zach Cherry, Dylan himself, showing up here as Brian at Brightstar Parks. Very exciting. I had almost forgotten that we see him on Succession.
Rome wants to bring him in. It's so bad that he goes to work for Lumen Industries instead.
Is Lumen a subsidiary of Waystar Royco?
Oh, maybe. We all could see that. Yeah, for sure.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible that that was an acquisition in another universe. It is both an episode that's filled with a lot of comedy. There's also just like a lot of the awful ickiness that you come to expect from Succession. And then there's a lot of really depressing Kendall content. So you know we're in season two here in Succession. Why don't we do the quick plot recap here at the top? Jess Sterling, you have the wheel.
Season 2, Episode 4, Safe Room. Logan finally brings Shiv in to observe, but leaves her out of the most important business deal happening, the meeting with Rhea Jarrell, Holly Hunter herself. After numerous calls, Kendall finally gets Rhea to meet with them in secret, and when they do meet, she tells them to F off. Luckily for the Roys, she gets trapped in the panic room with them due to a shooter-related lockdown and seems to be swayed slightly by a $24 billion offer and Logan telling her to trust him. Also in the panic room, Shiv, who had no idea Rhea was even coming in, and gets told to butt out when Daddy and Brother are making a deal. Shiv finally confronts Kendall after feeling threatened by his closeness to Logan, and Kendall breaks down and asks her to take care of him when she's CEO. In a completely separate and unsafe safe room, Tom and Greg are having their own feud. Greg has had enough of the human footstools and fascist anchors and tries to tell Tom he wants out of ETN. But the moment he mentions business open relationship, Tom opens fire on him in the form of water bottles. The abuse ceases when Greg blackmails Tom with the cruise paperwork he still has, and Tom is impressed and rewards him with a nicer office and a ton of money. Attaboy, Greg. Safe from the nonsense at Waystar, Roman starts his management training program. He struggles with being a normo, and just as he starts to get excited about his pitch for a VR warlike experience game, he gets revealed as a Roy, and his name taints the win. Oh, and he also has phone sex with Jerry, where she calls him a slime puppy. Lastly, Connor is the sole family member to attend Mo's funeral. That's all right with him, though, as he's getting a donor boner thinking about all the funds he can secure for his campaign. We begin and end the episode with Kendall on the roof, but in the end, the roof is made into a safe room of its own with glass barriers to prevent Kendall from hurting himself. And that is season 2, episode 4 of Succession.
A lot going on in season 2, episode 4 of Succession. High drama, high comedy, just a very like high building. Kendall is on a very, really high up there in the sky, Grace.
I have a discussion question for the group, which is, please. At the end of the episode, Kendall goes up to the roof and he's hanging up there, and he finds that the walls have been installed, and he puts his head against the wall. He sort of, I think metaphorically, he's trapped in a prison, right, that he can't quite escape. Are the walls, so we know that the gunshot that goes off in safe room is a suicide by an employee. So are the wall, what, does Logan, like, my boy, I gotta protect my boy, or is it like company policy and it's all just like just also happens to work as a perfect
metaphor? Because Waystar's so concerned about the NRPIs.
I think it's Logan, to be honest, considering how many times he asks, where's Kendall? Is Kendall okay? Where's Kendall? When they get to the panic room, safety room, I personally read it as Logan gets them installed. He seems very, very concerned for Kendall's safety, but he is never one to directly ask someone how they're doing or make sure someone's okay. This feels like a very, I don't want to say like passive aggressive, but like very passive way to be like, you're not going to hurt yourself, not on my watch.
Yeah, I think it is also, my opinion on this may have shifted. I think when Emily and I were doing the recaps in season 2 while it was airing, I may not have been on board with this, but certainly on the rewatch, watching the episode more closely with Logan talking about where's Kendall during all of this, also getting the news that, Jerry gets this phone call, Jess is involved, Carolina is involved. It seems that Colin is a piece of this as well, who is sort of all over the Kendall Roy beat. They know that Kendall has been shoplifting. He's been doing all these different things, and we're tidying up after him. That Kendall's being watched. And that Kendall's sole purpose for existing, as he says to Shiv near the end of the episode, if it weren't for Dad, I don't know what I would be for. So, you know, that's just such a brutal, brutal line and so indicative of where he is in his life. But I think that the episode's text tells us that Kendall is being watched closely. And it would make a lot of sense to me if they've been seeing him going up to the roof and if they are kind of concerned about where's Kendall's head anyway. When Kendall is not in the safe room immediately, Grace, this is an even this is another kind of like stemming from your discussion point. Maybe part of me feels like Logan is asking, is Kendall doing this?
Yeah, 100%. I think. Yeah, he's worried about Kendall might have gone off. He's like, he does. Like, he looks so numb, you know, to the point that you've been making in the last few episodes. That it does feel like Logan's worried that he might explode. You know,
yeah.
He might go off. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he is concerned about his well-being to whatever extent that's, you know, because he's his son and he's his father and he is concerned about his son's well-being versus, as Kendall demonstrates in this episode, he remains a highly effective tool of Logan Roy. He is very effective in the negotiations with Rhea Jarrell and hiking that number up to where we land. Jack Bauer's favorite number, $24 billion.
Well,
I guess that's Jack Bauer and Bobby Axelrod's combined favorite number.
Every time I'm on the movie, when I do Post Recaps Theater, and I'm like, oh my God, can you believe this movie only made $50 million? And my brain is totally broken because $50 million is so much money. They're counting up by hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, they start at $21 billion, then 21.5, then 22.5. Oh. They end at $24 billion. This isn't even billion dollars. And you could tell as they get higher up, Rhea is being swayed. But it's interesting how that negotiation plays out, because I think Shiv goes at it from a completely different direction. She is trying to get at it from the morality side, right? I know our values don't necessarily align. We do news very differently, but we can work together very well. Whereas it seems like Logan and Kendall are very much more about let me offer you more money and see if that sways you.
Well, and I get it from Shiv's point of view, but I also think the response she gets from Rhea Jarrell is in terms of, needing, independence, that they'll have their own, they won't touch the news. She goes, well, that's kind of a given. No matter what deal we make, that's kind of. And so I feel like Shiv is misreading the whole situation. And I think fundamentally from some of her time in politics and whatever, that this is just 100% completely about money, not completely, I guess, but it's more about money than Shiv, I think, realizes. And just shows why maybe she needs business training. Also hilarious that they make the co-COO of the company go do a 6-week training program at the park. It's so
hilarious, but also necessary for Roman Roy. 100%. If anything, it's hilarious that Roman Roy is the COO of this company to begin with.
When he gets cut out of the video and he calls Jerry and he's like, well, it's not about how many effing minutes I get. It's just optics, you know? But he does get cut out of the video.
The optics are bad because it is so strange. He's just he's spliced in this is a Dharma orientation video. And they found this little piece of Pierre Chang in the aero station that they stitched in here. And it's just not quite enough to get you the next piece of the mystery. So that's what's up with Roman Roy, or should I say Ron Rockstone?
Ron Rockstone, great name, great fake name.
Hysterical. I mean, there's no way Brian doesn't immediately know that he's Roman Roy. And
gosh,
if he didn't,
it's so hard to call him Brian. That's Dylan. That's Dylan.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Brian. Dylan,
but it's Brian. It's Brian.
Yeah, which honestly, really tough call for best side character this episode when we get both Rhea Jarrell and Brian in this episode, because
not that hard. Here, no? I'm gonna play the audio of Brian describing himself at this moment in time, and he's just gonna make the case for himself.
The intellectually promiscuous line.
Let's hear it.
If you look at the aggregate of all employment opportunities available on Earth right now, this is top 1-2%. We are basically in heaven.
Well, aren't you positive? They'll beat that out of you. What's your story, Hunky Dory?
Me? I'm an enigma. You can't pigeonhole me. I'm there and then I'm gone. I'm intellectually promiscuous, but culturally conservative. I work hard, but I do not play hard. I play easy. Why would you play hard?
Good question. And what is it you're doing right now?
I'm lurking like a dormant virus, biding my time in the Fort Myers resort, but I'm being stymied by a variety of enemies who are envious of my talents.
Obviously.
Brian.
Ron. Ron Rockstone.
Sure, man. Very solid name.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the best side character of the episode. That's pretty cool for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is for first watchers and everything, but if you're excited about Brian, don't be too excited about Brian. Yeah, you don't really see Brian again.
And I wish we did.
Is if you're not a Severance person, Zach Cherry, who plays Brian, is all over Severance, among the very best characters on that show.
Yeah.
I believe he won in our PSR poll, funniest character of the year.
2022. I believe that's correct. He did, but I can't remember if it was him or Vigilante from Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Vigilante from Peacemaker made a real run at it, which was pretty amazing. But Brian, just Zach Cherry as an ingredient in here. This is why the show is so good, because they had the possibility of incorporating this character into Roman's storyline moving forward, and you would have an immediate like Greg to his Tom. And instead, they're like, no, we've got so many other pieces on the board that we don't even need this. So that's a real testament to the strength of the show at this point in the show's run. So I feel like this episode is pretty remarkable in a lot of different ways. One of those ways, and we haven't even touched on it, and we are nearly 15 minutes into this podcast, is it's dealing with the gun crisis in America, and it is treating it in this way that is it is treating it in this very satirical way. This incredibly serious, deeply American issue is just sort of happening on the show, and the extreme violence that is occurring as a result is Tom chucking water bottles at Greg. I feel like there is a lot to unpack in the way that this show is handling something that is all too common in, this was 2019 when these episodes were coming out, but certainly as prevalent in 2023 as it was back then.
Well, I feel like one of the things the show also, you know, this is also sort of all wrapped up in the Mark Ravenhead of it all, because this is about protesters at ATN, right? This is a continuation of, the season premiere when Logan gets a literal piss thrown at him?
Oh, that was last season, yeah.
That was last season. So
it's all blending together. The days are starting to blend together.
So this could, you know, this what I thought was really well done about this episode, just because I was a little bit worried. I remember on the first watch through that a la some of the stuff that like Amanda pointed out about Shiv's like, you know, entering into politics or by the time we meet her, she's already in politics. But this way in which the show almost was trying to depict like both sides are maybe equally as bad. There are ways that they're both just as bad as each other. And I think that like, I don't know, objectively from Canada, I don't think both sides are equal, but we won't get into that further. Sure. But where the way that the episode turns out is that it's actually not somebody who like is a protester who goes in and like starts shooting, because you could see how that would be a huge win for ATN in a way. As sad as that sounds, that's like Logan's dream.
Yeah. Well, we're being attacked. We're ATN under attack. They talk
complete
about
martyrdom.
How they're gonna. Yeah, they talk about how they're going to market this. So how their PR is going to market this, because at the very beginning of the episode, they're marching through these protesters who are there in support of Ravenhead. And like Logan says something like, oh, can we hose them off down there? Like, can we get rid of them? Because it makes them look terrible.
Tom says, no, they're ours. Those are ours.
Yeah, those are our guys. Yeah, because this guy Ravenhead, so I didn't get too much into it in the recap, but basically there's a question of whether or not he is anti-Semitic. He may have been a part of the Nazi party.
I think it's one of the easiest questions to answer of all time, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he definitely is. Like, he's read Mein Kampf twice, and I love the line from Tom of, oh, you didn't catch all the Easter eggs the first time around. Mm-hmm. His dog is named after Hitler's dog.
Different spelling.
Yeah. He talks about
Quinton said he got married at Hitler's bunker. You know?
And he talks about all the tragedy, all the losses, and doesn't even mention
a few million that are being left out.
There are a couple million missing. So so it's all surrounded by this whole issue, and then there's the lockdown that happens as a result, which is what leads to some of the funniest Tom and Greg content that we've ever seen in the safe room.
Sure. My point is that I feel like the show really effectively is able to like take that thing and you think you know what's happening, and then it's actually like, no, this is a miserable place to work. It's so I think to the point of like this like battle that he's trying to fight of like trying to just get the news and how just like frantic he is. I wasn't on the last episode talking about just like how everybody thinks it's the wrong idea. And yet Logan is like, no, I'm going to win. And then this episode and then also all the stuff with Kendall of like being an employee here and what that is like for him currently at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rhea Jarrell, Logan Roy, Dad, Rhea Jarrell.
It's lovely to have you. Please, have a seat.
Let's do this character by character. Of course, we are asking you to join us in rating the Roys. Go to postshowrecaps.com/rateroy in order to rate each and every single one of the Succession main characters on a scale from 0 to 4. Roy children, 4 being the best, 0 being Connor. You can also rate a variety of other things that we are tracking here, from locations to favorite quotes of the episode, best side characters of the episode, the location, just the, I think the atmosphere of this episode is a 4 for me, because I will never forget. I mean, it's in the title, you know the vibe. Safe room sort of speaks for itself. This is what I'm thinking about when I think about Succession being such a contained show on episode to episode level, that there's just ideas, there's a framework that you get to work in. I think Safe Room's an incredible example of that personally.
I love Tom just knowing he's in the bad safe room.
Is Sid in the good one? I never noticed until my rewatch how obsessed he is with beating Sid at every turn this season, and it is so funny to me. Where is Sid?
Indeed. So where do we want to start here as we are going through the various characters, Jess? Typically we start with Logan. Should we just begin with Logan?
I think we should, yeah, because this is a lot of this episode surrounds his attempted acquisition
his
of
courtship.
Pierce.
Yes. And I think Logan, Kendall, and Shiv, frankly, can all kind of be talked about in the same conversation to a certain degree. We could separate this by safe room.
Yeah. Let's separate it by safe room. So
Logan,
I think, is super interesting this episode because I found him to be more protective than usual of Kendall, right? Where he wants to know where Kendall is the entire episode when he's not in the safe room yet after the shooting occurs. And he's protecting Kendall with this whole shoplifting storyline that we've had kind of going on in the background. It's kept in the inner circle only, right? Like you said earlier, like Jess, Jerry, Colin, they all know about it. It's really interesting to me that despite the fact that Kendall has screwed up so royally with his father, He is the one who Logan trusts to get this deal done with Rhea. He, like, Kendall is the one calling Rhea, trying to get the deal to go through. At the very end of the episode, he gives Kendall the good old, "Well done, son. Like,
well
good
done,
work.
Son. Good
and none for
work.
You, none for you, Gretchen Wieners. None for you, Shiv. You don't get anything."
Yeah.
Logan has, like, a pretty good episode, I would say, overall, because the shooting thing, right? He's able to be like, "Oh, ATN was attacked." And he's like, Rhea leaves not with a yes, but with a, like, "I'll talk to the family" type of thing. Like, certainly doesn't seem like this is over yet. I ended up giving him a 2. It's about as high as I can go when he's such a just terrible human being.
Mm-hmm. Turns out I can go pretty high when Logan is a terrible human being, as evidenced by Boar on the Floor. I'm not convinced yet that I'm going to go overly high with Logan. I haven't decided yet. Grace, how are you feeling about Logan Roy here in Safe Room?
Yeah, this is the dangerous game where I feel like I'm thinking in my head, like, I don't think he does anything that bad. And then one of you will quote him directly and I'll be like, "Oh, that's really bad."
Right.
But I do think he has a pretty good episode. I mean, I guess the thing here is that, like, the thing about the money, like, how much they're going to pay for this thing. And also, you know, Logan can also read that it is about the money. It's not about whatever. It's like, he's like, "I need you to tell them that they can trust me."
Right.
And the way in which he, like, gives this mandate, like, several times to Rhea Jarrell, like, "Go and tell them that they can trust me." I feel like there is a world where, like, I don't give him a full 4. I give him a 3 because I think he has a good episode. But also, he's pursuing a business deal, even if he's doing it very well. It's a business deal that everybody thinks you're, like, going to overpay for. It won't fit well. And the thing, like, Shiv lays out the argument, I think, last episode of, like, why it's such a bad deal to pursue in the first place. So, like, he's pursuing a bad deal, even if he's pursuing it well. Right. So that's why I give him a 3 and not a full 4.
Yeah. It's interesting, the scene in the safe room where Shiv and Rhea Jarrell are kind of going at it from, like, sort of the why this isn't going to work. Shiv's issue is basically it's for Shiv. It's not the cultural piece. It's not the cultural piece for her. She sees how it could fit politically. We're just, like, not aligned, but the business isn't going to work. And Rhea is the one who's like, "No, it's the incompatible cultures." And Logan and Kendall are basically, I think it's Kendall is the one who says, "I actually have an idea that could address that incompatible culture. It's called $21 billion.
Yeah.
And that's where we start getting into the bidding war against yourselves. But really, they're like against the invisible Pierce bidder, right? So this whole sequence is really amazing.
And I think Kendall and Logan, I, like, combine their names in a weird mashup.
Kendall Mahadeo.
Kendall Mahadeo. But Kendall and Logan are astute enough to see, and I don't think Shiv has enough business experience to see, is that Rhea wouldn't be here if it wasn't even an option,
right,
for them to be bought out. And so I think her even being on the premises is enough for them to know there is a number and they just have to get to that number. But I think what Logan is trying to do, which I think is, again, I only gave him a 2. He's very business savvy, right? Like, he's very successful. He knows that, like, Rhea is the one who can bend the ear of Nan Pierce and the Pierce family. And so he needs her to convey that he is trustworthy to them. And so him, like, kind of adding that in as a cherry on top of the 24 billion, Zach cherry on top of the 24 billion is so smart and is something that Shiv doesn't necessarily understand. And it's why he didn't want her in that meeting in the first place. Because as good as she is politically in terms of getting Rhea on their side, she doesn't have the business acumen to back that up and to really know what it is that it's going to take to get Rhea on their side.
Yeah, he says to her at one point that this only works if it works fast. I love the line when he says to her, "You know, you should stay for food." And she's like, "Oh, I have a weak stomach. We only eat Pulitzers at Pierce," I think is really good. Any just starting comments on Rhea Jarrell and her contributions to the episode of Succession? This is a character that will continue on here on the show for a bit.
I love her. I mean, she's a kind of, in a way, she's like, you know, Pierce's Jerry, to a degree, who we know I love, but kind of, like, not in the family, but close up to the family. can kind of, I think she's a fascinating character in terms of like who she's like, you know, I think in the, you know, in the way that I was talking earlier about like, yeah, I don't love like the left, you know, like they're just as bad, but she is, you know, in terms of people who have money, it's very compelling. It's like, yeah, okay, $22.5 billion is intriguing. It's hard not to be swayed by $2.5 billion. But she's so good in this role, I think, Holly Hunter, that it's hard not to just enjoy watching her on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
1,000% agree. Yeah, I think it's interesting that you can tell she's looking out for her own best interests, right? Because she is hiding her meeting here with everyone, right? She comes in like through the basement under the cloak of darkness to even come to this meeting. And she is a fascinating character to watch. And I think Holly Hunter was like, you couldn't have picked a better person for the role. Her voice, everything is just so perfect for the role of Rhea Jarrell. So I'm really, really excited to see more of her.
I'm going to end up giving Logan a 3. I think 3 because I think that there's still that one single lingering seed of doubt that is this even a good idea at all? Some people really don't think so, but Logan is able to be very effective here. And then there's also still that one single point of, is this going to work? But I think a 3 is going to be a pretty good score for Logan from this episode. Not quite sure what to do about Oedipus Roy, about Kendall, who we get in this episode, really very effective at his job. Once again, I think this version of Kendall, where he is, as you put it, Grace, a Ken doll. He is Logan's sort of other body who gets sent out to do Logan-y things. He does a great job with his Logan impression in this episode at the negotiating table, his interactions with Rhea. He has clearly earned Logan's trust. He may have he may have earned Logan's love back based on how you read Logan's concern for his son. Is it because he's concerned about his son, or is it because he's concerned about a highly valuable asset? I think is still up in the air. We know that Kendall has been going up in the air throughout this episode, that he keeps going up there. And there's that one moment before all of the safe room violence really occurs where he's up there to smoke a cigarette and he's peering over the ledge. And that is very dark and very hard to watch. And I think it is especially hard to watch in conjunction with the final couple of scenes of this episode, not just him going back up to the roof and seeing that the safety measures have been increased since last he was up there, but also that scene with Shiv is heartbreaking to me. His conversation with his sister and asking her, I think, what is the line? I would just ask that you take care of me is so sad and so vulnerable that I don't know where to go with Kendall. On the one hand, he is doing really good work as per the evil empire's wishes. On the other hand, Grace, he's having a very hard time.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to dock him down. Also, I talked about how I thought that the shoplifting was so like intriguing to end two episodes ago. And then it's come up, like people know that it's happening, it's continued to do it. There's also, Shiv has a really great line just in terms of like the wealth of this family. Since he's shoplifting vape fluid, he could buy the whole industry.
Right.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to rate him lower just because I think it's like, you know, he's not in the best place. But I also think like that scene with Shiv is so powerful. I talk about like the moments of joy for me in the show is like when the siblings, who you should hate all of them, but when they're like, love each other, you're like, God, that's like so compelling, so hard. It's just like all I want for them, you know. It's just, I want them to leave this whole thing and just hang out with each other and like be normal siblings. And like, yeah, like, you know, a lot of people don't get to where like Kendall is, but like I've had the moment of being like incredibly depressed, just need to go to my sibling and be like, I need your help, you know, and say like, I have to give Kendall a 4 this episode. For that scene alone is like, it's so heartbreaking, but it's like maybe the truest we've seen Kendall in a while, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm probably agreeing with you. I think a 4 is in order for me. Knowing Jess, you gave him a 0.
You didn't give him a 0. Listen, the problem is, because I know
learning
Grace sometimes...
about Jess Sterling's capacity for empathy. Yes.
No, it's not that. It's the exact opposite, actually, I think. Where, yeah, like, Grace, like you say, a lot of times you try to take into account, like, personal life and professional life in terms of your scoring. I don't necessarily do that. I do more of, like, a gut vibe type of thing.
Yeah.
But I will say I find it really hard to give Kendall a high score when he is so, so, so low. And I think, like, I think there's a, we've talked about the difference between, like, giving Jeremy Strong a really high score, right? 100 million points for Jeremy Strong. But I think Kendall, he's up on the roof too much. He's peering over the edge. And when he has that moment with Shiv where they hug and she, like, it takes her a second to kind of realize this isn't a game. This isn't a ploy, right? This isn't a move by him. He is actually needing a hug right now, and he's sobbing into her shoulder. And when he says the line, like, if Dad didn't need me right now, I don't know what I would be for. He's not saying I don't know who I would be. He's saying I don't know what I would do. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
He's saying, I don't know how I would be a four. Please give me a four. That's what he was saying. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's in charge of Logan's meds, right? Like, there's a lot going on with Kendall. Yeah. I gave him a one. I think, like, he is really going through it. And I can empathize with that, but also be like, he's at a one right now. He is not doing well. And he doesn't get that one unless he's like, the way he deals with the Rhea deal and the Pierce deal is what solely got him that point. Because I think without that, he is at like rock bottom. It's really, really hard to watch. It's really hard to watch his face just like scrunch up and cry into Shiv's shoulder. And let's be real, like, be unable to tell her what actually happened and why he's like this and why his dad is trusting him with certain things and why is he his dad's puppet right now. This is why he's shoplifting. It's all just really, really, really bad, bad, bad stuff for Kendall. And I had to give him a one.
Where do we land with the other Roy in the safe room? Siobhan, who is having her first day at work. She is, you know, still got the confidence of Tom. She is putting him to work and going after Ravenhead. But she is invisible. She's the invisible woman in this episode. She's not even there. And Logan is really not taking her into account at all, even when she is obviously there. I feel like there's a world in which this is a pretty rough episode for Shiv, but it certainly hasn't been the worst that we have seen of her thus far this season, I think.
That's why I gave her a one. I think she has a really bad, like, and the way that I think in particular, it's not just that, like, Logan and Kendall are, like, clearly seeing that she, like, does not have exactly the business acumen to, like, pull off this deal. She's missing the mark. I do think that quote you talked about with Rhea Jarrell, where Rhea's like, oh no, I actually do think there's a lot of reasons why, like, you know, this, like, we can combine on marketing, we can combine on, like, all the stuff that will actually save us a bunch of money and make us a bunch of money, actually. And so she's not seeing that. She's getting, like, you know, to the point of being invisible in the meeting where she's trying to, like, signal to Tom, and she's getting sort of, like, called out on it, you know?
No coaching from the sidelines.
No coaching from the sidelines. I think it's a really bad episode for Shiv. I agree with you. It's not the worst episode for her, and it's not the lowest I'm going to rate somebody who's in the episode, so I'll give her one singular point.
One singular. I can't do it. One singular, Siobhan. That's as close as I could get. I will see your one, and I will raise it to a two.
Sure.
I'm going to give Siobhan 2 points that she is not really having a great day at the office. She is she's like kind of thirsty, right? Like, why am I not getting looked at? I thought that we had that convo in the Hamptons, Dad.
Work right here. Is it cool if I work right here?
Like, no, oh, Ken's, no, Ken's there. I want him close for the proxy battle. And so she's got a lot of competitive feelings towards Kendall, I think, in this episode. So she's sort of defanged as far as an agent of Waystar in episode 4 of season 2. The humanity that she ultimately displays to her brother in that final scene means a lot to me. And I think that that is one of the things that keeps Succession watchable, is these moments, these glimmers of humanity in these people, despite what they're doing being so awful on a broader global scale, despite what these people are doing being so awful on an extremely hyper local scale within their family. Sometimes, just sometimes, they treat each other like people. And I think when Shiv hugs him, she's at first confused when Kendall asks for the hug, and she doesn't even, like, put her hands down on his shoulders when she feels that he is sobbing into, like, her chest. Yeah. And that realization and her interest in getting him to talk in that moment feels so much less like a move all of a sudden and more like, are you okay? And I think that shift from from ambition to concern is notable to me. So I will ultimately just boost the score a tiny bit and give her 2 points on this episode of the show.
Yeah, I also gave her 2 points. For that reason, Josh, like you pointed out, as well as I've always appreciated how intelligent and just like astute Shiv is. And maybe she doesn't have necessarily the business acumen. However, when she's in the room with Jerry and Jess comes in and it's very obvious that Shiv is being left out of something, she know it must involve Kendall because Jess is involved. She's like, let's see who else is involved. Colin. She like pries it out of Jerry. And again, I've talked about this previously, but in the last episode, how Shiv and Jerry, they're a little linked. Like she has a little bit of an inside scoop from Jerry. And I do think that's super valuable. And so I don't want to dismiss that aspect of it because I think that is something that is like, I don't think it's a coincidence. They're both women in a male dominated industry in a really tough environment to work in. And the fact that she has Jerry at least giving her some sort of information is really, really valuable. So that combined with the fact that I just can't get over that scene with her and Kendall. It is so moving. It is Josh, like you said, I think a pessimist would look at the show and be like, gosh, these people are awful and it's really terrible.
I think
really
even
terrible.
An optimist might look even at it.
No, but I think, no, true, but like, right. I do think like scenes like these show there's a little bit of hope maybe in the world, right? Like there's a little bit of redemption for somebody, even if they're a terrible, terrible human being. Everybody has people that maybe they care about at least a little bit. And I love the scene with her and Kendall together. So I also gave her 2.
Let's talk about the other person in the room. It's Jerry. And oh my God, you little slime ball, you little slime puppy, you revolting little worm. I think we could talk about Jerry and Roman in the same breath, because even though she's in the safe room, Grace, I think Jerry's most notable contributions to the episode come over the phone with Roman Roy.
Yeah, I'm going to implement a pretty simple rule for some of the Roman and Jerry, just in general. If you get essentially sexually harassed at work, I think I'm going to give you a 4. And if you sexually harass someone who you work with, I think I'm going to give you a 0.
Okay, that's a good rule.
Those are pretty fair rules. It's like, you know, and Jerry, like, there is like the thing about Jerry that it's like, she doesn't hang up the phone. She doesn't report it to, you know, she's head of legal counsel, doesn't report it. At the same time, this is still, you know, any way you slice it, she is a victim. And how victims act in the scenario, we don't always use logic when we're a victim of something like this. So I give Jerry a 4 and I give the little slime ball Roman a 0.
He gets a little zero-shaped slime ball, Jess.
He gets as many points as he seems to be having sexual relations with his partner.
I gave Jerry a 4 as well. I think, like I said, I like that she's keeping Shiv involved. I think it's like if Shiv is going to be CEO, nice to have Jerry be someone who's feeding her information. Also, of course, she's a victim of Roman's nonsense. So, like, you know, obviously Jerry deserves the 4. Also, worth pointing out, Jerry doesn't do anything bad this episode, right? Like, to me, she's not losing points anywhere. So Jerry gets a 4 from me. As far as Roman is concerned, Roman, like, I don't even know how to grade him for this episode. Like, even let's pretend like the sexual situation isn't happening. He is like, he's at management training. He's like, what do normos do? Right? Like, he doesn't even really know what to do. And in my opinion, his pitch is total garbage. And the only reason they win is because his name is Roman Roy.
It's actually Ron Rockstone, though.
Ron Rockstone. Yeah. He gets a 0. He's terrible. He can't, you know, he's struggling with the phone sex with Tabitha. And then he calls Jerry and it's bad news. So he gets a 0.
Yeah. I mean, so the one thing I'm Roman a 0. Like you're an adult and you do this a 0. But also, if we're going to like take that, you know, and we're examining these people's like psyche, there is something extremely sad about the way, and Roman needs to go to therapy very clearly. That,
oh,
like,
yeah.
He's struggling. Sex is a thing.
Ted Lasso crossover. Call Dr. Sharon.
Yeah. Wow. She'd be, wow. No, she would leave instantly. I think
she would
get on
never.
Her bike and
she'd
go.
Absolutely never.
You know, if I'm going to like examine the psyche of this guy, like there is like an kink shame. I don't, but like, I feel like the as we start to explore that basically the only way Roman is able to get off sexually is to be completely demeaned.
Yeah.
Is such a sad thing. I think that you can like extrapolate from some of the stuff we've seen earlier about the abuse he suffered from his siblings and his family.
Yeah. Look at the father, dog pound, right?
Right. That this is a thing that's like, it's clearly affected him to the point that like it becomes his sexual preferences. And that is a sad thing. Still, you're an adult and you make an adult decision and there are consequences. So yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think a therapist would have a field day, right? Like there is so much to dig into with Roman Roy, as I've discovered on this rewatch of like, there's so many small moments I've missed previously. It's really, really sad. Like it's really sad to watch this happen, especially when like he wants to be told he's worthless and pathetic. And again, that is like a sexual preference. Like we're not kink shaming here, but like the fact that it is tied, it's very clearly tied back to the abuse that he has suffered throughout his childhood and adulthood. It is a really, really sad thing to watch.
And the thing about this thing is like, if you do have like, if you're like into BDSM or whatever, like you also need your partner to completely consent and opt in participating in this with you, which he does not really give Jerry that opportunity.
Nope.
So yeah.
Am I going to get kicked off the podcast if I give him 2 points?
No,
Points. I'm giving Roman Roy 2 points. And here's why. One, because without Roman Roy, we don't get Zach Cherry in this episode.
Fair enough.
A really big reason. He also wins the prize. He wins the top honors.
Because of his name. Come on. Yeah, do you really think a VR warlike experience is going to win?
In that world? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. It's possible.
Did
Never
you like him as Dirk
the
Turkey?
American interest in violence.
Oh, yeah. He's Dirk Turkey.
He's Dirk Turkey. Gobbledygook. Go F yourself.
That is the other reason. That is it.
That was
it.
Really, really fun.
Just gotta submit my best quote of the episode.
Gotta give Roman Roy 2 points.
Hello. I'm here as a fellow human to acknowledge that Lester has, as we know, passed on. Lester was a man. Also, Lester was an employee of the Waystar Company for 40 years. And when a man dies, it is sad. All of us will die one day. In this case, it is Lester who has done so.
Well, how about that eulogy from Connor Roy as the best quote of the episode?
No, sorry, we have to kick you off the pod for giving
a possibility. Lester was here. Now he is not. We are talking about Connor Roy, I think, before we go to the safe room with Tom and Greg. What do you think of Connor's participation at Lester's funeral? Don't call him Mo.
Give him one singular point, because he does actually take Willow's advice to not deliver a like funny speech about and like not praise Lester at all. So
yeah, he was going to say Lester touched all of us.
It's so bad.
It's horrifying.
So bad,
it's
right?
Horrifying.
Tone deaf.
Yeah, it's terrible.
His eulogy is such a great example of, okay, well, I don't want to upset anybody, so I'm going to say actually nothing. I'm going to say nothing.
The wife's face to the widow's face.
I'm going to say truly nothing of any kind of substance at all and just get away as safely as humanly possible. It's such a great parody of that idea, the Connor scene. I gave Connor 2 points.
Wow. You gave Connor 2? Are you kidding? No. See, no, I can't. He said the line.
Alan Ruck. Killing me. He says, I have to give him some points.
When he says, I'm getting a donor boner just thinking about it, I gave him 0 then at that moment. And when he forgets that Mo's name isn't actually Mo, and like Willa embarrasses herself horribly. He's like, oh, that's the old wolf pack. That's Dad's old crew. And Willa's like, these are bad guys. He's like, no, they were, you know, it was just a joke. Like, Connor sucks. He gets 0 from me.
I once again just have to, like, I just feel like I'm going to do this every few episodes. It's just like, yeah, Connor has been on every episode of the show.
Yes.
Completely stunning my rewatch. Oh yeah, Connor's here again. Like, he did feel like someone who shows up like every 3 episodes and then has this, but like, you know what? No,
the Conrad's been new. Let's just say.
Huge props to Alan Ruck, but no props to Connor Roy, who sucks. I've given him 0s across the board this season.
One singular point for listening to his girlfriend.
Very, very funny. Okay, well, let's go to Tom and Greg. Let's close out the safe room arc here. Tom and Greg really get into it. It's a lover's quarrel in in the safe room. That is a quarrel with the Q, by the way, Grace.
Thank you.
So we see that that Tom, I mean, there's some stuff with Tom that's really funky in here. Not only is he chucking water bottles at Greg, but he's also going into human furniture territory. He's turning people into stools. Poor Jonah.
I forgot about Jonah. Yeah.
Yeah. But he is also
Fiesta, Grace.
But he also puts Ravenhead on the rack. You know, he turns his guts inside out. That's kind of good, but he doesn't get a chance to really get into it before everyone has to get locked up.
And
he also runs really quickly
him.
To the panic room.
Executives coming through.
This, when Greg is trying to be like, you know, he's like, I saw you running, Greg. He's like, I was just following you, Tom. It's so funny. They're such little children. I feel like that like, yeah, the footstool thing, I know it's like a bet and they make weird people make weird bets, you know, but I just like, it's such the epitome. I think I saw Mike Bloom write in the Discord a little while ago that like, never has he had a character that he goes from loving to loathing so quickly.
Loving to pitying.
Yeah. Loving to pitying as much as a friend Tom. Tom reminds me as somebody who worked at summer camp for a long time, Josh. This is the kid who shows up at camp and starts bullying other kids. And then you find out that he is being bullied at home.
Sure,
the
yes.
bully becomes the bullier. This is such classic example. And so the way he's treating Greg, but then again, this idea of like, I've talked a lot about shared language, but shared like business, like when Greg blackmails him, Tom is so delighted. He's like, are you blackmailing me? He loves it. And it's yeah. so, yeah. So I give Greg a 2, I give Tom a 2, but I give Greg a 4.
Yeah, me too. Exact same score. Yeah. Greg has the leverage and he uses it in this moment and he uses it perfectly. He gets a huge raise. He's going to get a new job title. And he does it. He wields the blackmail and the person who receives it with a smile. Yeah. You know, I accept your blackmail. That's a pretty good result if you're going to blackmail somebody, Jess.
The literal only thing you could knock on is he is still stuck at ATN, Jess.
Sure. That's
I'm similar to your scores in that. I did give Greg a 4 because he uses the leverage that he has.
Yeah.
And I think he does it in the nicest way he possibly can without realizing what he's saying. So like he says it could be a business open relationship without knowing that Tom is in an open relationship that he didn't really want to be in the first place. And so I think like, and Greg says all the right things, right? Nazis, they're the worst. Like Greg is great. Greg gets 4. Tom is where I differ from the both of you because it... Tom is a really bad episode. Like everywhere he goes, he's forced to do this like cleanup duty. Like he's the janitor. Like first it was the cruise scandal. Now it's Ravenhead being a fascist. There's just like so many things. And he gets in the shit room. He doesn't even get in the proper panic room.
He gets stuck in the panic room.
He's in the crap panic room. And like, yeah, it's just a really, really bad. He uses someone as a human footstool. It's a really terrible episode. I also need to mention, because we haven't talked about this, the very beginning of the episode starts with Tom saying, it's like you and your dad were flirting with each other and now you can bang.
Yeah.
He's like, not like that, but you can bang. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tom gets a 1. He has a really, really bad episode. And I so badly want to give him more points because he cracks me up. Like premium Tom Kent.
Content yeah, for Connor.
I only gave him a 1 this episode. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I give him a 2 as well. He cracks me up. I'm starting to feel like I'm going to be giving points to people for cracking me up because it's really a lot of points to go around. If I start trying to like determine who is worse than the others, it's really hard. Everyone sucks.
Yeah.
They're all really bad. Marsh is not here.
No, the only thing I will say, and I'm going to give her a not applicable because she doesn't even appear in the episode, but I did like the tiny note that we got where she called Willa and told Willa to talk to the widow and find out what Mole told the biographer. And I thought that was very, very smart. And I don't know if this is a directive from Logan or what the situation is, but I was like, that is interesting that she is in contact with Willa.
Oh, can we also, contact. We didn't shout out Connor talking to the biographer. Have we pointed out that she's from Friends? I missed yesterday's episode.
We talked about
Susan, okay, yeah.
Great. Talked about her from a couple of things, Breaking Bad as well. Yes. Great.
What he said, he says,
Connor Roy was interested in politics from a very young age.
That's and when he right. does it the second time, it was really funny. I really want him to do it one more time, but he does not.
He says it three times. He gets
does he say it three times?
He does get it three times. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. He does. He does. So those are the Roys in this episode. So make sure you're going to postyourrecaps.com/rateroy to rate everything. A few more odds and ends here. We got a single F off and four Ken dads in this episode of Succession. I don't really want to get too deep into the blanks dead. I think that unfortunately speaks for itself. I think for three episodes in a row, Kendall remains daddy's favorite.
Yeah, it's been very interesting on the rewatch. I think, Jess, you pointed out that there's this been this thing about Succession in which season one is Kendall's season, season two is Siobhan's season. And looking back on it, I'm like, not really. Season two, I think, is also Kendall's season, you know, thus far.
Yeah, it's just she's the one who's like supposed to be taking over. But yeah, it's rough. It is really rough for Siobhan. I didn't remember like it being this bad for her. I think what I remember about season two is obviously the Pierce stuff, but mostly like how sad Kendall is and how sad it makes me when Kendall's super sad, but also how much I hate Kendall. I can't win with Kendall. There's no medium for him. He's either really cocky and I hate him, or he's really sad and it makes me sad.
At a certain point, we're going to have to stop justifying our feelings about this thing. They're all rotten to the core.
It's true.
And yet, they were all apples once.
I'll say a couple of really great quotes that I don't think we've talked about is one is when Shiv is here just to observe, and she, I don't even know what she says, but Kendall says in such a, like, the driest way possible, like, oh yeah, good observation. It's good.
Yes.
I don't know why I love it. And then also the line read of look at you. So like, where are the papers? And Greg says, I'll never tell.
Yeah.
So,
I'll never tell.
One of my favorite quotes is, and I didn't even notice it until this watch because I had subtitles on or closed captioning on. When Greg is talking to Sid very briefly, she's like, so what do you do for Tom? And he's like, oh, I get him his lattes. And Sid says to Greg, do you have to milk him?
Oh, wow. Sid Peach.
It's like, oh, okay. How is it safe? It's just a room.
Yeah. I think Greg wins the Greg versus Tom battle 100%. In this episode pretty handily, 100%. Despite the fact that Tom does chuck water bottles at Greg. So in the physical altercation, it probably goes to Tom. But Greg walks away with not only a raise and a new job title, but also an apology from Tom. Another favorite moment in that whole scene is, but Tom, you're like my best friend. It's really funny.
He tries to get security. Security, help!
You're my friend. You're one of my best friends. Just kills me. Very, very funny. Rating the episode itself, I went with a 3.8. I love this episode. I think Safe Room is really great. I think Safe Room is a really good example of some of the things that Succession does so well. Deep character drama and character examination while being intensely funny and biting about our culture. I think Safe Room is really, really good. Elite Succession, 3.8 from me. Jess?
I ended up giving it a 4. Originally had it at a 3.75, but I felt like, you know what? It's closer to a 4 than it is a 3.75 because to me, this is so iconic. Like, I use the gif of Tom chucking water bottles at Greg far too much for this to not get a 4. Mm-hmm. It's so, and I think, like, if anything, I would say the reason I was pushed into the 4 rather than the 3.75 is the Kendall and Shiv scene. It's so emotional. It is so raw and real. And so well acted on both parts. I love it so much. So, I had to give it the 4.
Grace?
I'm just a smidge under a 3.9. And that's just because, Jess, you're really going on the 0.25s of it all. Mm-hmm. So I give it a 3.9. I think I agree with both of your points. So, Jess, it's so funny. Like, the fact that, like, at the end of 50 minutes, I'm like, hold on, we didn't say other funny lines from the episode. It's so good. It's also very, like, culturally relevant. Like, that's really sad. But, like, yeah, mm-hmm. the rise of, like, Nazism in our public discourse.
Fascism is a big word, but
yeah. And then it's so, like, sad and like, I just can't help but feel, like, incredibly sad and anxious while I'm watching it. And also, like, yeah, the scene between Kendall and Shiv is, like, heartbreaking. And I'm also like, look, they're being siblings. They're being real humans, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really love this episode. Again, I don't think it's quite up there with what I consider like the perfect episodes of Succession, but it's pretty freaking close.
Yeah, pretty freaking close indeed. And I think that we are going to pretty freaking close this thing out at this moment in time. That was good, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Chop, chop. We got to go here. We got to get this thing done. So we are going to close things out for the day. But the Succession podcast, of course, continues going into season 2, episode 5, Turnhaven. Little preview is the Pierce storyline continues. We will be getting into that in Turnhaven. You want to get your ratings in for all of the Roys, for all of the episodes, go to postshowrecaps.com/rateroy or postshowrecaps.com/actionstations in order to give us your ratings of all of the main characters, the episodes, and so much more. We would love for you to participate on that front. If you want to get more involved with the podcast, get ad-free versions of the Succession podcast, you can become a patron of Post Show Recaps by going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You're going to get commercial-free versions of every final season Succession podcast at any level when you go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If you can't subscribe as a patron, you can certainly subscribe to our Succession podcast feed. You will never miss an episode of our Succession coverage when you go to postshowrecaps.com/succession. That's our RSS link. You can search by URL in your podcast player of choice, or you can just search Post Show Recap Succession wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, ratings and reviews greatly appreciated on that front as well. I am at Round Howard wherever you can find me. Grace, where are you?
I'm at Hi From Grace.
And Jess?
At The Jess Sterling.
Turnhaven coming up next. Until then, everybody,
F off!
P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.